Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, August 26th. In the conclusion to a story we've been following here on the newscast, Colorado Parks and Wildlife officials have trapped and killed the bear involved in a bear attack on an Aspen restaurant manager on August 18th. According to a press release, Parks and Wildlife officers located the bear within town limits last Monday, the day after the attack. DNA test results received late Thursday confirmed it was the same bear that bit the restaurant manager after he tried to haze the bear out of the restaurant's dumpster. A necropsy revealed the male bear weighed approximately 400 pounds, was healthy, and tested negative for rabies. Officers then received a report of a large bear matching the description of the offending bear wandering in the same area of Sunday's attack. The animal was tracked to a second-story balcony of a business one block from where the attack occurred. The bear was shot with a tranquilizer dart, removed, and then euthanized at a Parks and Wildlife office. Officers made the field determination that they had found the target bear based on descriptions provided by the victim and bystanders the evening of the attack. Measurements of the bear's teeth while it was immobilized matched those of the bite wounds sustained by the victim. In addition, the proximity of the bear to the location of the incident contributed to the officer's confidence that the right bear was located. The bear was determined a threat to people because it was so large, had attacked a person, and continued to roam in town limits. Aspen and the surrounding areas have been enduring a busy bear year so far in 2019. In addition to three attacks on humans over the summer, calls to 911 reporting bear encounters have varied between 5 and 20 a day since mid-June. Wildlife officers say for every call, there may be up to 2 or 3 incidents that go unreported each evening. Despite the high level of activity so far, Parks and Wildlife warns that bears are just getting started. In response to the approaching change of seasons, bears are entering into a state of hyperphagia, an instinctive metabolic change resulting in an almost constant feeding frenzy as the bears prepare for winter hibernation. From now through a time that ranges between early November and mid-December, bears will be focused on feeding in preparation for their hibernation, devoting as many as 20 hours a day to foraging. During this time, Parks and Wildlife urges citizens to be bear aware, keep bears out, get rid of attractants like food and garbage, and teach bears to remain wild. Moving on now to the town of Paonia, according to a press release from August 23rd, a legally binding petition has been circulated and the signatures delivered to Town Hall. If the Town Council will not act, the petition will force a public vote on the matter of a water tap moratorium. According to the press release, the current petition would put a freeze on the sale of water taps until the town has the ability to save water in wet years for use in dry years or acquires additional water rights. Multiple engineering reports conclude that without action, system shutdowns will become commonplace, even without additional water sales. There are currently about 400 unconnected taps. The town is obligated to have the ability to supply these taps, but continues to sell more, knowing it has not made the necessary investment. This will result in system disruptions for all users of Paonia water. Again, according to the press release, the studies about this have been ignored by the town's elected officials, who in the past attempted to keep the conclusions secret. The studies show even the ability to serve the existing water users in a series of dry years is doubtful. None of the studies are considering a drying climate. By law, because of the petition, the Paonia Town Council must now either adopt the petition's moratorium or put the matter to the citizens of Paonia for a vote. And in a follow-up, the matter of the water tap moratorium is not on tomorrow night's agenda for the regular meeting of the Paonia Board of Trustees. That means it will not be discussed or acted upon. A budget work session is slated Tuesday night at Town Hall at 5:30, followed by the regular meeting of trustees at 6:30 p.m. Items listed on the agenda include a continuation of the public hearing about a major subdivision on South Clark Avenue, acquisition of a new trash truck, discussion regarding the hiring of an interim or permanent town manager, and the delegation of the town administrator's authority to the town clerk. From the Colorado News Connection, the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment has agreed to hear concerns about worker protections. Eric Galatis has more on that story.
Colorado workers putting in overtime hours but not getting paid overtime rates could get some relief. The Colorado Department of Labor and Employment will hold a public hearing on Wednesday to hear arguments for redefining which workers should be exempt from overtime protections. David Seligman with the group Towards Justice says many employees are not currently protected if they receive an annual salary or if their position carries a title such as supervisor or manager.
And what that means is that hundreds of thousands of Colorado workers can be forced to work however many hours the employer wants, 70 hours a week, 80 hours a week, and not receive a dime of overtime.
Seligman's group and others want Colorado's Labor Department to establish rules that limit overtime exemptions to employees that are paid at least 2.5 times the current minimum wage. The proposal isn't popular in all corners. Some business owners worry that extending protections to more employees could force them to raise salaries. Seligman notes that overtime and other protections can be made by Colorado's Labor Department directly without legislation under the agency's statutory mandate to protect workers. He says businesses in states with similar protections frequently hire more workers or streamline projects to get the job done in a 40-hour week and don't have to raise salaries.
That's not what this is about. All we're saying is that if you don't pay them 2.5 times the minimum wage, that means that you have to pay them overtime premiums in weeks when they work more than 40 hours.
Labor officials will also hear concerns about employees not currently guaranteed meal and rest breaks, including construction and agricultural workers. Wednesday's meeting is set for 1 p.m. at the department's downtown Denver offices. Details are available at towardsjustice.org. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And finally today, the Delta man who collapsed during an encounter with police last week has died, the Delta Police Department announced in a news release. Mark Porter, age 33, had self-reported to officers responding to a call on August 18th that he was under the influence of, quote, a very large dose of methamphetamine, end quote. During the encounter, he struggled with officers who tackled him following multiple attempts to otherwise gain his cooperation. Porter ran into a narrow walkway between a home and a wooden fence with no exit. Porter began tearing out pieces of the fence and throwing it at officers, and officers' tasers had no effect. Porter died last Wednesday at St. Mary's Hospital in Grand Junction. And that was your KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, August 26th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.